Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and welcome onto the show, Michael Jannetty of SpotTrack, who had, I thought, a very on-brand and kind of compelling case he made today on the Terry McLaurin front, put together a contract that would work potentially for both sides. That seems like, you know, it's right where this thing's going to end, and he's got all the details on how it would look. Michael, thanks for joining us on The Fan. How are you?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Good.
You got it. So the deal you came up with here was 3 years and $82.5 million, which was a little over 27 per. So how did you get there, and why does that feel like a potential landing spot for the exercise?
Yeah, so that's actually his mathematical value within our structure. So the 27.5 has sort of been the number that we've been bouncing around internally here with him for a while. And, you know, I know that counteracts with the $30 million plus that other wide receivers around his age have been getting, and certainly what he's been saying out loud. But that's sort of where fair market value says he should be. And I think this late in the game, with the team basically putting their foot down this long, that's going to be the going rate, right? It's not going to be an overextension at this point in time. It's going to be all or nothing in terms of that fair market value price.
So, Michael, my sense has been, and you could tell me if you think I'm off base here, that I think the team would probably go for that. I don't know that Terry McLaurin and his agent would, just kind of given their eye line. Give me your thoughts there.
Yeah, that's exactly why I published this today, right? Is there's only probably one version of this that the team itself would say yes to right now, and that is fair market value. So, to go above and beyond that would be a cave from the team's perspective, and they just don't need to do that because, you know, unlike some of these other holdout situations, there's a world where, enough people internally probably think near $20 million for McLaurin this year is a good number from a cash perspective. And then next year is obviously up in the air. But, yeah, that's the fair market price is exactly where the team's going to be. And we've seen that a couple times now with contending teams, a couple of Buffalo extensions, certainly some things that have happened in Kansas City over the past couple of months. You're just not going to get too much past that point when you're within a system that is vying for a Super Bowl right now.
So what's baked into your number? And the reason I ask that is the argument the team and the agent have had, and the reason for this impasse, is the team is saying age. And the agent is going years. Like, he's going, I don't care if he's about to be 30. He's going into year 7. And guys get paid going into year 7. And the team's going, well, year 30, age 30 is what matters here. So I'm wondering, like, how do you bake that and bring it out at that number, and how do those things factor in?
Yeah, there's a few factors. Obviously, age is one of them, and certainly the age itself, when factored mathematically, is drawing this number downward, just naturally, and because that's the going rate, right? When wide receivers hit this mark, it's just an actual fact. There's data to it that we plug in behind it that says that the number will be going down at this point in time, unless you're a 1A tier 1 unicorn, which mathematically Terry McLaurin is not, unfortunately. So, and the other side of this is just raw data, raw stats, analytics, some premium stuff that comes in from the backside. And he's doing very well in that regard, obviously. Otherwise, this would be closer to $20, $21 million, which is where Cortland Sutton recently landed in Denver, which I know is a contract that the McLaurin camp is pushing away from quite a bit here. So he does have some distance in that regard in terms of statistical production, but there's no question that the second you hit 30 at this position, the mathematical value of your worth is going to come down.
Michael Jannetty, SpotTrack. You can check him out on social. Great insight on contracts. And anytime a big deal in sports is signed up, he's one of the first accounts I go to. Danny asked you a little bit more on the side of, what the team had offered. What the player had wanted and how far off that is. I want to go to what the team had offered. $27.5 million and the difference between that and what we've been told reportedly is they want to be down closer to 24, 25, and they may have even started lower than that. Like, what about that side of it? Do you think that was where they should have begun the negotiation?
Well, the contract I put out today, yes, is $27.5 million per year, and it's a 4-year contract, right, a 3-year extension. But from a guarantee perspective, it's 2 years, $50 million. So I've got it right at that $25 million per year mark over the next 2 years, and then basically everything after that is completely up for grabs in terms of the guarantees and the ability to get out of it. So I think these numbers themselves kind of hit all notes, which is his actual value within our algorithm and what the team has been saying out loud they're willing to do. And it just comes down to, is player and his agent and his camp willing to accept essentially a two-year contract, knowing that after that it's going to be pretty hard from an open market standpoint to cash in again.
Michael Jannetty, Spot Track, with us here on Grant and Danny, breaking down a potential Terry McLaurin deal. Michael, go into this for me, and forgive my ignorance. You've forgotten more about this stuff this morning than I'll ever know. But to me, the thing I care about, not necessarily the cash for the player, I don't want to be in anyone's pockets, I care about cap hit for the team, right? So if somebody gets a bunch of cash and it doesn't affect the salary cap, that's great for me. To me, it's all about building the team and the roster. Why the structure that you have does that cap hit jump in year three and year four without kind of what looks to me like an easy off-ramp there if it's really about the 2 years, $50 million guaranteed? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so what I've done here is I've added two big bonuses, a signing bonus this year and then a signing bonus next year as an option bonus. And that allows things to be spread out and pushed down the line, right? This is the essentially building in the contract restructure in front, like teams like Philadelphia and some others do. So I'm doing that prospectively right now because I know this team is looking to build aggressively every offseason. They've done so this past. They're going to do it again next March. So you temper the current cap hits. You deal with the larger cap hits later. And like I said, after 2026, this contract that I projected here is basically thrown out the window from Washington's perspective. So it's about dealing with both cap friendliness today and cash in hand for the player right now today, and everything else is basically just we'll see when we get there.
Essentially, they could tag him next year at 29, and then he's under contract this year. Would they be saving money, 2 and 50 or whatever that accounts to on this deal from that? The reason I ask is, if they're not, would they even be willing to do this?
It's a great question. It's a great point. I think that franchise tag next year is going to be pretty high. I really do. I really think the mathematics, when it's all said and done with these top five salaries, is going to be upwards of, you know, mid-30s. So, when you put the math with his 19 and change this year with that 30, you're approaching, right, the $50 million that we're projecting here. So, again, I had that in perspective here when I put the numbers together, and you want that to be as close as possible because you want to be able to poo-poo any of the arguments that the agent's going to make, and that will be a big one, especially with, you probably want this player around for not just this year but also next year, knowing that you have the value on Jaden Daniels for the next two seasons.
So, Michael, again, forgive my ignorance. I've seen that projected cap, franchise tag number, rather, in the high, $28, $29 million for next year. Why the difference? Why will it be much higher than has previously been thought?
Well, two things. We're going to have a couple more extensions here, which I think will factor in before the cutoff date actually gets here. And then, of course, wherever the salary cap jumps next year, and that'll trickle down. So if the salary cap comes in higher than we think next year for 2026, and I do think it could be upwards of $300 million, maybe even over $300 million, you'll see those numbers really significantly go for these premium positions, which by all accords the wide receiver has become over the past five offseasons here with ridiculous amount of signings.
Spot Track's Michael Jannetty giving us some numbers on Terry McLaurin. So what is the recourse for him? I mean, everything points to him not really having leverage, the team holding all the cards. You're looking at this from a very statistical, numerical, unbiased perspective, and you're going 27 and a half is about as good as he's going to do. What are we missing? How is this going to end any other way?
He's going to have to cave, right? And unfortunately, I try to put this on both sides as much as possible, but I really do think that team has most of the leverage here heading down to the wire as we're about a week away here from this all coming together. He's going to have to come down basically to this point, which is I'm willing to be here for 2 years. I want to be here for 2 years, fully guaranteed. And that $25 million per year in terms of the guaranteed average is going to get it done for me. If he's not willing to do that, if his camp is not willing to compromise in that regard, like I said, I think you agree with me. I believe the team thinks he will step on the field with his current contract and play out that contract, and we'll see where we get to next February and March. So it's one of those situations that I wouldn't say with the other holdouts exists, where the team has so much leverage. This is one of those where I swing towards the Washington Commanders pretty heavily.
So that's interesting. I mean, there are a couple things on that, Michael. We're in a different era now where, the agent, whoever the agent is, will text Adam Schefter. And it's like, the contract was negotiated by Steve Smith or whatever, and now we're, supposed to care about that and all the different things because everybody wants to spike the football. Where would their spike the football be in that deal that you're talking about, where it makes it seem like all this was worth it. You know what I'm saying? Like, every agent's got to do that. They've got to show that we won this thing somehow, even though I wouldn't view that as a win objectively. Where would their ability to do that be in this deal, in your mind?
That's a phenomenal question. And with NFL contracts specifically, there are ways to do this, right? Because there's so much, I don't know, fluff, right? Broadcasting, marketing built into these things. Mm-hmm. The way to do it is, if you look at my contract and you look at the bottom two salaries, which already you mentioned the cap, if they're bloated, there's some bloatedness there, is you add to that, right? And maybe you even add an extra year to this thing, make it a four-year extension, and you allow yourself to pump in some really, really bloated salaries down the line, which in turn gets that average salary, that APY, over $30 million. And then you're able to go back and put out to the Schefters of the world and say, look, we got Terry McLaurin $30 million a year, when, you know, anybody who looks at this stuff with a closer magnifying glass understands that the two years guaranteed is really all that matters here. So that's generally what you're going to see happen, is you're going to see a bunch of funny stuff added to the back end of this thing to make the marketable numbers sound better. But there's just no way that a team like Washington can give in too much with the next two seasons, knowing how important it's going to be from a contention standpoint.
Michael Jannetty of SpotTrack with us. Last thing for me, and I know you deal specifically with the contracts part of it, but the fines element of this is interesting to me. And I don't know how that works in with your side of it, but when he was holding out, it's pretty easy. It's $50,000 a day. Every day he doesn't show up. It's $811,000 for every game he misses, preseason, regular season. It gets a lot more murky with a hold-in, especially with him being on PUP, because now the team has the ability to not fine him, and it's based on conduct detrimental and whatever else. But what's your thought on if he really even has a possibility of missing any game time, or if that would – is there even a path for the agent to say that somehow that could help him with his leverage to miss games?
It gets really, really funny once the season starts, right? Because at some point in time, the team can actually run the tests and put the data out there that says that this is he's healthy enough to be playing, and he's just refusing to play. And the second that becomes a thing, now you're talking about a breach of contract, right? And it gets really ugly and really nasty. And generally, sides don't want to get to that point, but I think we're headed in that direction with Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati, without a doubt. And, you know, it's not an accident that we're hearing so many singular reports from Washington stating that, you know, Terry McLaurin is simply in a conditioning position right now, and he's starting to ramp up, and he's getting very close. And those words are happening because of what we're talking about here, which is they believe he will be active, healthy, and ready week one. And if that's not the case, they don't plan on, you know, losing out on their end of the bargain here. So I have a feeling if he believes he can hold out or hold in without any ramifications, the team may be thinking otherwise here.
Michael, not hyperbolic, I literally use your website every single day. Thank you for that. Thank you for this great work, and appreciate you joining us, man. Thanks.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
It's Michael Jannetty of SpotTrack with us on Grant and Danny. Really good insight on Terry McLaurin.